Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Lita Cortez was 49 years old when she vanished from the island of St. Martin on January 11, 2008. Originally from Orange County, California, Lita and her husband had just built a vacation home on the island and celebrated their first Christmas holiday with friends, when Lita decided to walk down the road to the casino one night, but never returned. People don't just vanish into thin air. Somebody somewhere knows exactly what happened to Lita, and the people that know her don't think it was an accident. What happened to Lita Cortez? St. Martin is a small island in the Caribbean that is actually divided between two separate nations, France and the Netherlands. The island is located in the Caribbean Sea, about 190 miles east of Puerto Rico, and is one of the smallest landmasses to be divided into two countries. The entire island is only about 34 square miles, but it's densely populated with around 77,000 people. The French side is called Saint Martin, and the Dutch side is called Sint Maarten. The Dutch side is known as the Las Vegas of the Caribbean, with lots of casinos, bars, restaurants, and a busy nightlife. The French side is known as the culinary capital of the Caribbean, with fine dining and dishes prepared by world-class chefs. On the French side, it's all about the Caribbean vibe, and that side is a bit more liberal with several nude beaches and topless sunbathing is accepted by all. St. Martin is a huge tourist destination, especially for Americans, because English is widely spoken on both sides of the island. Tourism fuels the economy, followed by duty-free shopping and financial services. So it's one of those islands you hear about where rich businessmen hide their bank accounts. It's best known for the beaches and the weather. The most famous beach is Majo Beach, and you've probably seen photos of this beach on social media. It's directly adjacent to runway 10 of Juliana International Airport. Planes take off from the short runway and zip right over the beachgoers. The planes fly so close that it's become a tourist destination in its own right to get the perfect plane on the beach photo. The flight times and tables are posted in the nearby bars and restaurants, and a loudspeaker even broadcasts communications between the pilot and the control tower. It's probably one of the more unusual beaches for an amazingly unique photo op. While that beach is quite famous, there are 37 different beaches in all, and the water temperature is between 79 and 85 degrees year-round. Orient Bay Beach is another popular beach, with a reputation of being the Saint-Tropez of the Caribbean. Its white sand and clear turquoise waters are the perfect spot to relax and soak up the sun. And there's no shortage of bars, restaurants, and beach clubs to keep you entertained. The best-kept secret beach is on Pinal Island, just a short ride from St. Martin. There are almost no waves there, and it's topless optional for all of you that want to experience something a little more risque on your vacation. If you want to spend a little time off the beach, a hike to Fort Lewis on the French side offers panoramic views and a little history. It was constructed in the late 18th century by the French to defend the island against potential invasions. It's located on Fort Hill, which gives the views of Margot Bay, the coastline, and neighboring islands. You can explore the ruins, walk along the walls, and there's even a cannon to check out. While you're over there, definitely visit Grand Cas, known as the culinary capital of the Caribbean. The village is home to numerous gourmet restaurants offering a variety of cuisines, so all my foodies, head in that direction. And for my adventurers who are looking for something a little more thrilling, stop by the Lottery Farm. It's a nature reserve with hiking trails, zip lining, and natural pools. Over on the Dutch side of the island is the town of Philipsburg, known for its colorful colonial architecture, duty-free shopping, and waterfront partying. Front Street is the popular shopping destination over there, lined with shops, boutiques, and restaurants. Lita and her husband purchased their home on the Dutch side of the island, probably because there are less restrictions to foreign home ownership on that side. And buying a home doesn't automatically grant residency or visa rights, but the couple didn't plan to stay there full time. There's a large expat community in St. Maarten, with people from all over the world calling it their home. There are retirees seeking a warmer climate and relaxed lifestyle, professionals working in the tourism industry, business owners, or people that just want to live on a beautiful island. They built their house in Oyster Bay on the southeastern coast of the island, near the border with the French side. The bay is known for its stunning natural beauty and views of the Caribbean Sea and neighboring islands. There are also several luxury resorts, hotels, and lots of vacation rentals that cater to tourists. The island is literally paradise, except they do have hurricanes. There have been a few that have caused considerable damage. In 1995, Hurricane Lewis was one of the most destructive to hit in recent history. It struck on September 5th as a powerful Category 4 with sustained winds of up to 140 miles per hour. There was widespread devastation, extensive damage to homes, infrastructure, and vegetation. It also affected the tourism industry, and recovery took a long time to complete. Hurricane Irma in 2017 was one of the most powerful hurricanes ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. It made landfall on September 6th as a Category 5, with maximum sustained winds of 185 miles per hour, again causing catastrophic damage, destroying buildings, flooding streets, and knocking out power and communication. Many people were left homeless, and it was another significant blow to the tourism industry. Because the island is in the hurricane belt, they've made a lot of efforts to improve disaster preparedness and better infrastructure, with a focus on minimizing the impact of future storms. But it's hard to predict nature, so if you go during hurricane season, be prepared. Lita and her husband had visited the island many times and loved it. They felt safe there. But criminals are everywhere. And sometimes, they're the ones you bring with you on your travels. Let's get to know Lita Cortez. Lita Cortez was Lita McGlendon before she was married. She spent her early years in Los Angeles as a blonde bombshell of the 1980s rock and roll music scene. She was a single mom to her son Rory and an up-and-coming rock star, leading a band and reveling in the vibrant music scene coming out of the Sunset Strip. Her former bandmate and friend, Gar Buchanan, said her personality was even bigger than her voice, and she could easily breeze through any VIP line, catching everyone's attention along the way. Her friends said her presence was magnetic, and her circle included all the big hair guys in the scene that usually made better photo ops than boyfriends. She worked as a waitress by day and was a party girl by night, hanging out with bands like Motley Crue and Poison. Los Angeles was bright and exciting at that time, and Lita was playing gigs at all the trendy clubs on her way to making it big. She was full of life, hardworking, and happy. She loved to dance, loved to be the center of attention, and didn't let anything or anyone hold her back from her dreams. She wrote a song about the guys in Los Angeles called "Don't Lean on Me," singing, "Sometimes it's hard having someone that leans on you all the time," writing it because she always took care of the men in her life. And if someone was going to come along and steal her heart, they would have to try a lot harder than the men she was hanging around with. And that man turned out to be Frank Cortez. Frank grew up in Germany and moved to the United States when he was just 18. He met Lita soon after arriving in Los Angeles. Being only 20 years old, Frank was 7 years younger than Lita when they met. They came from completely different worlds. He was still learning English, and she was the stereotypical California girl. He was quiet, reserved, and even-keeled, while she was a firecracker with a famously short fuse. He was a wallflower, and she was the one to start the party and keep it going. He was a computer programmer, and she was the lead singer in a band. But Frank pursued her relentlessly, despite their different personalities. He was smitten with her from day one. From the moment they met, he gave her all the attention she craved, and he was genuine and caring. There were lots of phone calls and gifts. He always showed her a good time and followed up the next day with a phone call just to make sure she was happy. He was very much a gentleman, and she fell head over heels in love with him. The relationship blossomed quickly into marriage because, although they were very much in love, Frank also needed a green card. When they were married, Lita let go of her musical dreams and joined him in his startup animation company. The couple was happy. They had a core group of wonderful friends. They loved costume parties, trips to Vegas, vacations, and birthday parties. They moved to Orange County and settled into a married life, with their animation company growing into a very successful business. Frank focused on the technical aspects, and Lita managed the client interactions. But as the years went by, their marriage faced several hurdles. Lita suffered a series of family tragedies and health issues, which led her to self-medicate with prescription drugs and alcohol. In a fairly short period of time, she had lost her two brothers, and her mom's health was declining as she battled dementia and Alzheimer's. It was all too much for Lita, and she got a prescription for Vicodin, while her light drinking turned to heavy drinking to alleviate her grief and anguish. As she struggled with her issues and addictions, her constant state of insobriety strained the relationship and marriage. Friends said Frank started to belittle her, and she felt abandoned during her struggles. His ridicule made her feel even worse, and instead of helping her or even giving her a shoulder to cry on, he pulled back and she felt completely alone. It was during this time, while taking care of her mother, heartsick and battling her addiction, that she met Bobby Hargis, a younger man who was renting a room in her family's home in Fresno. He gave her the comfort she needed. Bobby was caring and sweet to Lita, and they started an affair. Frank discovered her affair in the fall of 2006. He started snooping, put a tracker in her purse and one in her car, ultimately following her around until he could prove his suspicions. When he confronted her, Lita proposed that Frank should have an affair with her childhood friend Elaine Kairos to settle the score. She thought if they both had an affair, they would be even and could move past it. So Frank and Elaine hooked up for a few weeks, but that just further complicated their failing marriage. The couple fought a lot and even brought up divorce, weighing the options of who would get what from their 20-year relationship and what life would look like separately. The fights would go from 0 to 100, and about a year before they left for St. Martin, police were called for domestic disturbance in their Mission Viejo home. Frank called authorities, claiming Lita became violent during an argument and chased him into his home office, banging on the door with a hammer. Sheriff deputies defused the situation and there were no arrests. Eventually, the pair decided they weren't going to give up on each other, but rather they'd make their 20-year marriage work. In early 2007, they started building a vacation home in St. Martin as a fresh start. They found a hillside overlooking the ocean, and the home meant a lot to both of them. Frank supervised the construction, and together they picked out tiles and paint colors. It was fun for both of them, and Lita was especially proud of their new lease on life and their marriage. This was their favorite island, their own little slice of paradise. They'd been going there for years, enjoying the great weather and beaches, the casinos, and the nightlife. While Lita's addictions seemed to level out, they weren't completely hidden, with her friends often noticing she would still mix pills and alcohol. By the end of 2007, their new home was almost finished, their marriage seemed to be back on track, and they were embracing their new life and time together. They were spending more and more time in St. Martin, making new friends on the island, going to parties, clubbing, and enjoying each other. But the good times didn't stick around for long. Let's go over Lita's last days after a message from our sponsors.
I know. You're not used to hearing this voice. And we'll get back to the show shortly. But first, my name is Jaden Harlow, investigative writer and podcast host of The Missing Found. The Missing Found is an investigative true crime podcast focusing mainly on unsolved missing person cases in the Black community. The cases that I cover have either gone cold, have little to no media coverage, or have gone without conclusion. Just some background on The Missing Found. My approach has always been research focused, understanding the life of our missing person, where they came from, their family dynamic, their inner circle, personality, and their movements thereafter. You want to know the details and even the more intricate details and scenarios that are often missed in the investigation or just aren't considered. I conduct full case analyses on our missing persons with the methodology of relating the case back to life, giving some background on our missing person, the case details, solidify the timeline, state only the public facts, possible theories, break down every case element, and close with my opinion, all delivered to you in a structured and easy to follow spoken story. Listen, I take it there. I'm willing to go as deep as I can with these cases, and I'm not afraid to. If you're new to the Missing Found channel and platform, or just want to give it a listen, you can start with two of my most notable cases on missing Selena Mays in Willingboro, New Jersey, and Lopez Richardson in Rosenberg, Texas. Selena's case is freezing cold. She was only 12 years old, 9 months pregnant, and 27 years missing. It's a case that I deem as a best-kept secret in the family and her church. In the analysis, I start from the top to the alarming end and mystique that plagues the case after. My case on missing Lopez Richardson, a doting father who went missing in Texas in 2021 under mysterious circumstances. His truck was found several miles away near the state line of Oklahoma. His devices were scrubbed in a crash scene that appeared staged. I conducted a massive analysis on his case and raised some thought-provoking and compelling questions to invite you in on helping me analyze this case. I was even brought on as an expert contributor on the CBS Paramount Plus show called Never Seen Again for an episode dedicated to Lopez and the details surrounding his mysterious disappearance. I do what I do because I know these cases are often not talked about, receive little to no media coverage, and they're still cold. I take what I do serious here on The Missing Found, and I want answers. I'm here to tell a story and open up my platform to invite you in to hear me profile and analyze every detail and possibility in these cases in a way that has not been done before. The Missing Found is available on YouTube and all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. To read about me, Jaden, as the host, learn more about the show, or to access all things of The Missing Found, you can visit our website, themissingfound.com. I thank you for your listenership. Always remember, be safe, vigilant, and always be aware of your surroundings. Jaden Harlow, The Missing Found. Now back to the show.
Frank arrived in St. Martin on December 3rd, 2007, with Lita arriving 8 days later on December 11th to put finishing touches on the house in time to celebrate their first Christmas there. The couple planned a big holiday party, inviting all their friends stateside to celebrate on the island with them. Everyone flew in for a couple weeks of sun and fun. They had a great time. The house was beautiful and the atmosphere was happy and carefree. The last party before their friends left the island was relaxed and wonderful. They all brought food for a potluck and hung out. And just a few days before that, the couple confided in their friends that they needed each other too much to separate. They made the final decision to stay together and make it work. They said they still loved each other and always would. Their housewarming festivities ended by early January, and all the guests left thinking the couple would continue celebrating and enjoying the island. But on January 9th, 2008, Lita called her friend Diane Smith and told her she again wanted a divorce. She said Frank was accusing her of continuing her affair with Bobby, and he was frequenting St. Martin's legal brothels. She was angry and told her friend she would never let Frank keep the vacation home she loved so much. On the afternoon of January 11th, Frank's mother arrived from Germany for a visit. Frank said they had argued earlier in the day, but by the time he picked his mom up from the airport, it had blown over and Lita resumed normal behavior and was pleasant to her mother-in-law. The three enjoyed a casual dinner on the French side of the island, and they had an impromptu cocktail gathering in a parking lot with friends. They pulled up some plastic chairs with liquor from a nearby bar and listened to music, staying for about an hour drinking out of plastic cups until they finally decided to call it a night and head home. Frank said they both had a lot to drink, but Lita couldn't hold her balance because she was still mixing alcohol and prescription pills, so he had to help her walk to the car. He put her in the back seat while he drove, and his mom sat in the front. By the time they got home, Lita had fallen asleep. Frank said she wasn't ready to get out of the car, so he left her there and went inside. A neighbor was outside and saw Lita sleeping in the car around 9:30, and that was the last confirmed sighting of her. Frank told authorities that she soon woke up and wanted to go gambling. She got a second wind after her nap in the car and wasn't ready to end the night. She loved gambling and would go often, particularly the casino at the bottom of the hill they lived on, in the Westin Resort. She asked Frank for the car keys, but because she was drunk, he refused to give them to her. So he said she left on foot with some cash she had in her purse, and that was the last time he saw her. He said he laid in bed for a few minutes after she left, and then decided to find her and convince her to come home. He claims he got in his car about 10 to 15 minutes later and drove down the road looking for her, but when he didn't find her, he assumed she already made it to the casino, so he gave up and went home. But phone records tell a different side to the story. Lita called Bobby around 10:30 that night and told him she had a fight with Frank about taking money to go gambling at the Westin. She also told Bobby that earlier in the day, she finally told Frank she wanted a divorce and was taking half the money. She said she'd call him back in about 20 minutes, presumably while she was walking to the Westin to gamble, but he never heard from her again. In fact, no one heard from Lita Cortez ever again. The next day, word got out around the island that Lita was missing, that she had set off on a walk to the casino the night before, but never made it home. Friends on the island and stateside began to worry, but they thought the story sounded likely because Lita was a big-time gambler and never wanted the party to end. Taking off alone at night wasn't completely unheard of. But Lita would always come home by morning, so her friends knew something was wrong. St. Martin had very few missing person cases, and authorities were quick to start their search. They took statements from friends, neighbors, and combed the area with dogs. They talked to the Westin and looked through all the surveillance tapes, determining she never made it to the resort and never gambled that night. And in fact, investigators thought the timeline Frank gave them about going to look for her after 10 to 15 minutes just didn't fit either. She wouldn't have made it to the resort in that time, and it seemed too short of a time frame to meet any possible fate without Frank noticing if he had gone to look for her at all. They started to wonder if Lita ever left the house at all that night. Lita's friend Elaine flew back to the island right away to help with the search, and more of her friends followed. Frank was cooperative with authorities, but friends noticed he wasn't panicked at all. He seemed cold, detached, and unemotional. He refused to speculate on what could have happened to his wife, instead concentrating on practical tasks at hand. He helped with some searches and made calls, but many of her friends started to think he had something to do with her disappearance. Authorities and friends searched the island with little progress and found no clues. They held thorough searches, but no physical evidence like clothing or personal items were found along the path she would have taken from her house to the casino, or anywhere else on the island. No one in the neighborhood saw her, no one at the casino or resort saw her, there was no activity on her credit cards, bank accounts, or cell phone. It was as if she vanished into thin air. Investigators focused on the stretch of road from her house to the casino. The road was full of washouts, potholes, ankle twisters, and high brush on both sides. There were no streetlights, she had been drinking, and was wearing sandals. But if an accident happened, they would have found her. St. Martin authorities turned their attention toward Frank. They searched his house on the island and in California. They took all his computers and electronics, and they brought him in for questioning several times. Lita's friend Elaine told police that the keys from her rental car went missing for a period of time when she came back for the search. She told them she thought Frank killed Lita and hid her body, using her rental car to then move her body later. Months after Lita went missing, investigators found the rental car in question and searched it, finding blood. But because so much time had passed, they were not able to link it to Frank or Lita. The island's chief prosecutor, Taco Stein, said, "It's like making a puzzle of those little jigsaw blocks without an image on them. So you're puzzling and you're trying to put the things together, but you don't know what you're putting together." 9 months after Lita vanished, on October 16, 2008, authorities arrested Frank in connection with her disappearance. But without enough evidence to charge him, Frank was let go just 3 months later. Investigators still consider Frank the one and only suspect in Lita's disappearance. In February of 2009, on a sunny Monday morning, a team of more than 50 people that included Elaine, Elaine's son Trent, Bobby Hargis, Lita's son Rory, along with local volunteers and authorities, gathered at dawn to search a quiet surf beach called Le Galion, hoping to find Lita's body. By now, they theorized Frank had put her in something easy to carry, like a suitcase, when he disposed of her body. But they didn't find her that day, or ever. While her friends are satisfied with everything the police have done and all the searches they've conducted, they have little hope of finding answers unless someone comes forward. When Lita first disappeared, her friends speculated and hoped she had just run off, that she was finally fed up with Frank and left for some breathing room with someone new and they'd hear from her soon. Or maybe she met someone and they sailed away on some mega yacht and she'd call when she got the chance. Perhaps a sugar daddy picked her up and she was living a new life somewhere. But they knew Lita would never make them worry like that. They also knew she wasn't the type to just run off. She would have divorced Frank and fought for the house she loved so much. As time passed, they thought maybe because she was so open and friendly, she met with the wrong people that night, went to party with them, and something sinister happened. Maybe she went out on someone's boat and there was an accident, and whoever she was with was scared, so they left her body in the ocean. But the longer she was gone, the more they thought it seemed impossible, given the time frame, that she met up with someone else. And given the toxic relationship, most of their friends blamed Frank. But did Frank kill Lita? He was detained for over 3 months while the investigation focused on him, but they couldn't find enough physical evidence to charge him. The theory from authorities was that there was a fight between Frank and Lita that night, that he snapped when he saw she called Bobby, and in a jealous rage, he murdered her. Frank then hid her body in the neighbor's yard, moving it later with Elaine's rental car. While police consider him the prime suspect, Frank has come forward to dispute their claims. He said the police did a lousy job in the investigation because they did not search his home right away when Lita went missing, but rather waited until Frank complained to them about the investigation, and that's when they turned their sights toward him. He denied harming Lita and said the neighbors would have heard if there was a violent fight. He said he never used the rental car, and if he had, someone would have noticed because the house was filled with people looking for Lita day and night. He said that although cadaver dogs hit on the rental car, they weren't hitting on human remains, but instead, he thought it was probably transmission fluid or rust in the car, or maybe even ketchup, but definitely not blood. Guys, I don't think trained cadaver dogs were hitting on ketchup in the car. While there is no concrete proof of Frank's involvement, or even proof that crime was committed, more often than not in a case like this, it is the husband. Frank told NBC News in an interview that he misses Lita. He privately grieves for her, but chooses not to display his emotions publicly. He remains free and is now in his late 50s. He leads a quiet personal life and tries to stay away from the public attention about the case. Whether Frank killed Lita or not, most people agree that she is dead after all this time. The St. Martin's prosecutor said that without a body, it's very difficult to investigate because you don't know what to look for. They also think she's dead. But the question is how and where is her body? It is possible Frank had nothing to do with Lita's disappearance, which means someone else hurt Lita, or there was an accident. But if it was an accident, there still had to be some kind of human intervention, or they would have found her body. The road she walked down was completely dark. Someone could have been driving, accidentally hit her, and then hid her body so they wouldn't get in trouble. Or there was a crime of opportunity, and someone drove by and snatched her. But there were neighbors. I think someone would have heard something if that was the case. I think she would have put up a fight. But she was drunk, so it's possible they quickly incapacitated her before she realized what was happening. Lita's disappearance affected so many people in her life. Her son lost his mother, and her friends lost someone that was a bright light in their lives. Since she's been gone, Lita became a grandmother to a wonderful little girl that she'll never meet. Lita was the caregiver for her mother, and 5 months after she disappeared, her mom was moved to a state hospital due to lack of care. She died alone at the California State Hospital on March 6, 2009, from Alzheimer's, without ever knowing why her daughter never came back for her. Is it safe to visit St. Martin? One reason I love visiting small tropical islands, other than the gorgeous beaches and perfect weather, is because crime is normally pretty low. St. Martin is ranked among the safest destinations in the Caribbean. There are always the basic tips, like avoid isolated areas, especially after dark, use licensed transportation, don't carry a lot of cash or wear expensive jewelry, keep an eye on your bags and luggage, and watch your drinks when you go out, don't get too drunk. The main thing you have to watch out for is petty crime and theft. Violent crimes are more rare there than most places. The U.S. Department of State advises to exercise normal precautions. This isn't to say you should run around town drunk and alone at 3 a.m. or even let your guard down. Always be aware of your surroundings, especially on vacation. And the drinking age is only 18, so if you're not used to drinking, be sure to take it slow. There is violent crime on the island, but it rarely affects tourists. St. Martin is used as a drug passageway from South America to Europe and North America, so there can be drug-related violent crime. Don't buy or consume drugs. Never leave your bags unattended or agree to carry a package for anyone. Prostitution is not illegal on the island, but facilitating prostitution without a license is illegal. St. Martin has adopted a tolerance approach to foreign workers in certain establishments on the island. This means that criminal law is not enforced in those locations as long as people follow set requirements. But keep in mind that prostitution enforces human trafficking, so legal or illegal, please do not participate in it. There are some precautions you should take when visiting. The main roads are narrow and dimly lit, but driving at night is reasonably safe as long as drivers are familiar with the route and road conditions. You can drive there with a valid U.S. driver's license, but brush up on driving laws because they aren't always the same as they are in your country. For example, right turns at red lights are prohibited on the island. Along those same lines, there's no Uber on the island, and taxis are not metered. Make sure you settle on a price before you get in for the ride, and only use licensed taxis. Also, the island lies directly in the hurricane belt. Set up an emergency plan just in case there's a natural disaster. It's a small island, and you'll want to make sure you know where you're going and what you're doing ahead of time. Fun fact, there are monkeys on the island, but they aren't original inhabitants. During Hurricane Lewis in 1995, they escaped several households that had them as pets. And over the years, they created life on their own. Quite a bit of it, actually. The best chances to find some are at the Lottery Farm hike, where there's a tropical forest system. Also in Guana Bay and the east side of St. Martin, they are often seen searching for food. Just remember, they are wild animals and they will bite. While there aren't any large predators or particularly dangerous animals on the island, there are a few things to keep an eye out for. Mosquitoes, especially during the wet season from May to November, can transmit diseases like dengue fever and Zika virus. Pack your bug repellent, but make sure it's reef safe for the ocean. Jellyfish, like the Portuguese man-o-war, may be present in the waters around the island. Their stings are not usually life-threatening, but can cause discomfort and allergic reactions in some people. A sting would be a vacation ruiner for most. Sea urchins are common in the shallow waters, and their spines can cause painful puncture wounds if you step on them or touch them. Fire coral is a type of organism that can cause painful skin irritation. So don't touch it or rub up against it. Keep an eye out for it when you're in the water. And there are centipedes and scorpions, although relatively rare. They usually avoid humans, but if they're provoked, they might bite or sting. If there's an emergency, the number for ambulance and police is 911, the same as the United States. If you like to travel with your pet, they are allowed to come with you. Of course, make sure your hotel allows your pet. But animals are temporarily admitted with a health certificate dated no more than 10 days before the visit and a record of inoculations, including a rabies shot administered no more than 30 days before arrival. They must also be 15 weeks or older. But most beaches don't allow dogs, so be mindful of whether your pet would want to come with you just to stay in the hotel while you're enjoying your beach time. Overall, St. Martin's is a beautiful, relaxing island that's pretty safe. But never let your guard down because there are criminals everywhere. And most importantly, no matter where you're traveling, make sure you inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Lita Cortez disappeared on the night of January 11, 2008, on St. Martin Island. She was 49 years old, had long, curly, red-blonde hair below her shoulders. She was 5 feet 3 inches tall and weighed around 135 pounds. She was wearing jean shorts, a blouse, color unknown, and sandals. She has a tattoo on her lower back with the numbers 777 and flames around it, like you would see in a Las Vegas casino. Lita vanished, leaving no clues behind. She's never been out of touch with family or friends like this before, and many think her husband had something to do with her disappearance. If you have any information at all about the disappearance of Lita Cortez, please contact the Dutch authorities on the island at 011-599-542-8761 or the FBI at 714-245-5207. Let's do what we can to give her loved ones the answers they deserve. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn about my personal travels. And now we have ad-free episodes on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.